If you're in the market for some 2x4s, you might want to consider whether you really need to build that project right now, because you're going to pay for it. Vox reports that wood for a new house that would have cost $10,000 a couple of years ago now has a price tag of $40,000, and that's if you can find the boards. Lumber is one of the many products where demand is outpacing supply, and that's driving up the cost. We want to know, where do you see shortages in products you need or that you want? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Are you having trouble getting a particular product? What were you trying to get? Do you worry about paying too much for things or that the cost of our goods is going to keep going up? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Our guest for this conversation is Callum Williams, a senior economics writer at The Economist. Callum, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We've seen shortages in items like lumber, microchips, chicken breasts. Why are these shortages happening now?
Well, you're absolutely right. There are shortages in a whole variety of different products. Weird and wonderful things are becoming harder and harder to get. It's very difficult to get hold of a hot tub at the moment, for instance. I think really this is to do with, as you know, it's basically to do with what's happening as the economy, the US economy, is leaving lockdowns. Basically, what's happened is that US consumers, households, have gone out and they've spent in huge numbers. Some people have used their recent stimulus checks. Other people have used savings that they've accumulated over the past year or so. And basically, it's taken a lot of businesses by surprise. They thought they were going to get a certain amount of spending, but in fact, there's been loads. And so they've been taken by surprise and they're frantically ordering things from the other side of the world to, you know, get all these things into the US. And it's basically causing all of these blockages and supply chain problems.
We've had other supply chain problems throughout the pandemic, but when did this crop start happening?
Yeah, you're exactly right. So the last time there were some big supply chain problems was in about February of last year, so February 2020, which was before the pandemic really got going in the US. And that was to do with something slightly different. That was to do with what was happening in China, which, as you will remember, was the kind of epicenter of the pandemic. And what was happening there is a lot of factories were temporarily closing down in order to try and contain the spread of the virus. And when the factories were closing down, it meant that they weren't producing as many goods as before. And so, you know, American businesses were placing orders with Chinese factories and other factories in that part of the world. And they were getting a response: sorry, we're just not open, so I'm afraid we can't supply it to you. What's happening this time, as I say, it's actually something different. It's that there's so much demand for goods and services of all sorts, really, that there just simply isn't the capacity in the supply chain to keep up. And I think the other thing that's going on here, which is kind of important, is that this is going to sound a bit weird, I guess, but what's happened also is that the past year of lockdowns has left a lot of container ships and big ships that actually carry this stuff from Asia to the US in the wrong place. And so what that means is, you know, a US firm will place an order to import something into the US, and the business on the other end of the phone will say, love to serve you. Unfortunately, the ship that we'd like to use is currently in Egypt or Canada or somewhere in Europe. And so it will take a bit of time for that ship to sail over to us, and it'll take a bit of time so we can fill it. And of course, bear in mind that even at the best of times, sailing from, you know, China or Japan or Taiwan or Thailand to the US takes a few weeks. But now these problems have really got a lot worse because a lot of ships are in the wrong place.
How do you see these shortages, whether because of ships or other reasons, affecting consumers?
Well, I guess there's sort of two sort of big things that people are thinking about. One is to do with inflation. And you've seen in the figures that came out last week in the US, consumer price inflation was surprisingly high. I mean, it wasn't as high as it was in the 1970s or anything like that, far from it, but it was a lot higher than people had been expecting. And so what people are starting to wonder is whether what companies are starting to do now is to say, okay, well, we thought we'd have 100 hot tubs and now we only have 50 hot tubs to sell. And so what we'll do is we'll put up the price of hot tubs. So that's one thing that's going on. So the risk of that, of course, is that what the Federal Reserve will have to do is basically to put its brake on the economy and actually slow down the economy to try and contain this inflation, which you know, that would be pretty bad given that roughly 8 million Americans are still out of work compared with before the pandemic. The other thing, though, which is not really something you can measure in the statistics, but is more of a kind of emotional thing, I guess, which is that it's just pretty weird in a country like America, which is the world's biggest economy and basically the world's richest country. People are used to going into a shop and being able to get what they want pretty much straight away. And that's actually increasingly not the case. People are having to wait a long time for often pretty basic stuff. So it just adds to this feeling of strangeness, I guess, which I guess a lot of people will be feeling at the moment.
And is it in a specific section of the market? Is it affecting certain things? I mean, because from what I've been reading, it seems like it's kind of random, the products that we're seeing shortages in.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. It's not affecting every good and service in the same way. So, I mean, one of the big things at the moment that a lot of people are a bit concerned about is the car industry, which is suffering from this real shortage of computer chips. A lot of computer chips, the majority, if I remember correctly, are made in Taiwan. They're really important for cars. Even the most basic car now will have lots of computer chips inside. And so, and they're actually pretty sort of basic pieces of technology in some cases. So a lot of car companies now are in a position where they're actually just not able to produce cars anymore in the US. Temporarily, of course, but right now they're struggling to produce cars. And so that's one sector that's really suffering. And the electronics sector in general is also suffering. But I think that, you know, there are other sectors that are perhaps doing, you know, they're not having the same problems. So, I mean, for instance, thankfully, we're not having the same problems with supplies of medical equipment that we had, you know, roughly a year ago, where a lot of hand sanitizer was in short supply. It was difficult to find masks. Doctors and nurses were struggling to be properly protected as they were doing their jobs. Those kind of supply chain things have thankfully sort of ironed themselves out, you know, given that we're still in the middle of a pandemic. The one where it's kind of in the middle is to do with services. So of course, with things like going out to a restaurant or getting physiotherapy or getting a massage or having someone come over and do some redecorating work on your home, you don't have the same problem where you have to import loads of stuff necessarily. So those industries are not doing so badly as a result of these supply shortages. But what they have, which is a sort of different problem but related, is a lot of these companies are struggling with a shortage of labor. So a lot of firms now are saying that it's very difficult to find the right staff for a job. The measures of how many vacancies there are now in the US, the number of vacancies is at an all-time high of about 8 million, which is just incredibly high given that we've only just come out of a very, very deep recession. This is a problem in other countries, but it's a particular problem in the US. So to answer your question, you know, I think lots of goods and services are suffering from one form of shortage or another, but it kind of just depends on the kind of shortage and the kind of industry that you're looking at.
We are talking about shortages with Callum Williams. He's a senior economics writer at The Economist. I'm Keely Boltina. We've got more discussion of shortages, including labor, ahead. Join us. Ask your question now at 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. We are talking about the economy and shortages, labor and products and components and food. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina. Our guest is economics writer Callum Williams. And there's room for you in this discussion here on the Ideas Network. Call 800-642-1234. Jeremy in Racine is ready to talk with us. Hey, Jeremy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm kind of curious as where the consumer watchdogs are at right now. They seem like they're falling asleep at the switch here. When you're looking at the lumber prices and the volume of the change between, it's like five times more for an average 2x4. And when you go to the box stores, you don't see like only one pallet out there. They have quite a bit of inventory in there. So you're trying to figure out why are the prices being gouged so high? Because the majority of construction grade lumber in the U.S. is domestically produced. So it's not being shipped over from China or anything like that, unless you're getting into exotic woods. But other than that, it just seems like they are taking advantage of the current circumstances of the pandemic and the surges of people wanting to buy goods and just overpricing their goods to make as much money as possible off of it.
Jeremy, thanks for bringing that up. Callum, do you see what's happening as price gouging?
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. It's a great question. So I'm just looking at the data at the moment, and you're right. The price of lumber has risen by 90% in the US over the past year, which is just absolutely astonishing, really. I mean, I think there's a couple of things going on. I think that your suggestion that there might be price gouging could be correct. I mean, there has been some good work that has been done on the US house building industry, and there's good evidence that the number of house builders has fallen. It's become a more monopolized industry, the construction industry in general. And so this means that you're absolutely right. Some firms do have more pricing power and might well be taking advantage of that. I mean, of course, the problem is in real time, it's kind of pretty hard to know exactly what's going on. But I think it's definitely a possibility. My sense is that the other thing that's going on, which is not really to do with price gouging, is just that what's happened during the pandemic. One of the weird things about the pandemic is that the housing market has gone completely nuts. As you know, house prices have gone through the roof. And what that has done is meant that house builders are starting to respond. And actually, if you look at the house building data in the US, yesterday's wasn't so good, but generally speaking, it's been actually pretty strong, especially because the economy is still pretty weak. And so that has just raised demand for lots of building materials. It's not just lumber where prices have gone through the roof. So I think that's the other thing that's going on. The only other thing I would suggest about lumber is I had always thought that the US imported basically zero lumber. What I understand is that it's higher than I thought. It's about a quarter to a third. A lot of it comes from Canada rather than from China. You're right to point that out. So I think it's also possible, potentially only in a small way, that these problems with supply chains are also having an effect on the lumber price. But no, I hold out the possibility that there is price gouging going on. That's definitely something which the consumer folks need to look at.
Jeremy, thanks so much for that call at 800-642-1234. Callum Williams is senior economics writer at The Economist, and we're talking about shortages. And Callum, let's go back to something you mentioned a bit ago, which is labor. We've talked about how consumer spending has gone up, and yet the U.S. labor market is still down, 9.8 million jobs since the pre-pandemic peak. What trends are you seeing in workforce?
Yeah, it's a great question. Now, this is the biggest puzzle of all, really, at the moment. It's not just something which is true in the US. It's something that's increasingly true where I am in the UK. It's true in some European countries. It's very true in Australia, which has kind of moved past the pandemic in a big way. So some people say it's to do with unemployment insurance being too generous. Basically, every business person I speak to says it's to do with that. And, they could well be right. The economic evidence by economists on this question is much less clear. So it's not 100% clear to me that unemployment insurance is having a big impact. I think there's a few other things that may be going on. One, if you look at the industries which are suffering the greatest worker shortages, they tend to be industries where you need to be in close proximity with people, often inside. So, for instance, the classic example that you see in the media all the time at the moment is restaurants, bars, pubs. Pubs are also struggling in the UK, by the way. So it's something that affects different sectors harder than others. And I think the reason why that is that some people are still a bit nervous about being in public space, and particularly a bit about being in a cramped, closed, unventilated environment with other people. So I think what will happen is that as vaccinations continue to spread, and of course they are continuing to be rolled out in the UK and the US and across the whole world, that sort of fear factor will go. And people will be happier about working in those environments and in those industries. I think the labor shortages will fade. But I think there's something else, the sort of second thing that's going on, is to do with what's happened in the US economy over the past year. And something really extraordinary has happened over the past year, which is that some parts of the country have lost a lot of jobs, and some industries have lost a lot of jobs. So for instance, if you were someone who was giving, you know, making lunches for people working in downtown New York, those kind of jobs have disappeared in great numbers. But at the same time, the US economy has created lots of jobs. I mean, for instance, delivery drivers in the suburbs where people live, or COVID testers, or there's loads of other things that have been created. And the little theory that I have about this is that it just takes time for people to move from one sector to another. You know, if you're someone who has been looking for bartending jobs in Manhattan for most of your working life, it might take you a bit of time to recognize, oh, hang on, there aren't so many jobs here anymore. I think I'm going to start looking for jobs in other industries in other parts of New York. So I think it's part of it is just a kind of frictional change. It's a transition. It's a bit difficult for a lot of firms at the moment. But I'm hopeful that actually before long, these shortages will disappear, because if they don't, we're in a sticky situation, because as you rightly say, 8 to 10 million Americans are still out of work compared with before the pandemic. So there's a huge human cost here that needs to be addressed.
Callum, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's great fun.
Callum Williams is a senior economist, writer, economics writer at The Economist. And we were talking about shortages in workforce and in products across the country, how that supply chain problem could affect inflation and our overall economic recovery. Just ahead on The Morning Show, we discuss how global food markets have improved our diet with a food policy analyst and an author, as we talk about his latest book, Resetting the Table, Straight Talk About the Food We Grow and Eat. I'm Keeley Boltina. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.